Everybody got a star map?
Looks like it's working.
You want your own or you want to look
on it? Yeah. Power running?
Mm-hmm. Everybody find, everybody turn it so that the legend is at the bottom left hand.
That's one thing I hope doesn't go, is the coffin.
Now go to your right. Well, first of all, let me start. There are only two structures that predated Noah's flood. One was the Great Pyramid of Giza, and the other was the Sphinx. And both of them show the revelation of Christ in a strange way. But we're not going to study the Sphinx tonight, but I mean the Great Pyramid. But the Sphinx, its purpose was, if you notice the stars, it's just, if you looked up in the sky, there's no way that anyone would assign these figures to that grouping of stars. There's only one sign in the zodiac that looks like it is. And that's the Southern Cross. It's the only thing that looks like a cross. But you can't even see that from here anymore. You could see it. It was seen in Jerusalem at the time of Christ, but it's gone steadily lower in the Southern Hemisphere. But it's a circle. And so where do you start in a circle?
That's a shooting star. Just ignore it.
What was that?
A shooting. We're studying the stars.
What was that?
A shooting star.
What was it?
It's the same thing we had last week. I turned my phone off, and for some reason it has to make noise. Just when you don't want it to. It's off then.
All right. So, again, if you go to the ancient star maps of almost every culture, whether it's India or China or the Arabic or Persian or any of them, the northern countries, they assign the same figures to these same stars. How did they do that? Go to, just take an example, go to the one that's, see if you can find Virgo. It's the woman on the right hand, a little bit up from the bottom. Everybody find it? You got it? You got it, Virgo? All right. The zodiac's purpose was to show where to start and where to end. The ancient Sphinx had the body of a lion, and now they say it has the head of a pharaoh, but it doesn't. It has the head of a woman. And so it meant you started at Virgo, Virgo, and you ended at Leo, the lion. So the beginning of the story of the stars starts in Virgo and ends in Leo. And so that's what we're going to take a look at, just a quick summary of all of those different. Each of the 12 signs of the zodiac have three sub-signs called decans. And we'll look at each one of those and see what we can come up with. The Virgin, have you ever seen, has anybody ever been to Greece here? Been to the Parthenon? The Parthenon is this incredible structure that's right, it's on a mound, a very high mound in the center of Athens. And on the top is this incredible structure that's called the Parthenon. And it was built about 300 or 400 years before Christ. And it's just mind-blowing how they could have built it with this technology then. But it's dedicated to the Virgin, to Virgo. And it's everything in it is dedicated to the Virgin. But it's this Virgin, but they've established everything about the stars has denigrated into what we have today. People ask you which sign you were born under. Like, well, I'm a Virgo, or I'm a Pisces, or I'm a Cancer, or whatever I am. but that's all crap. Initially, the star map, its purpose was to show the mystery of the universe, what the universe was about, what the purpose of the universe was. And every ancient culture had the same figures assigned to those same grouping of stars, which is impossible because they had no communication unless they had a common first source. And the first source that everybody, all the ancient cultures says it was Enos and Seth. Those are the two people that predated the flood. And I don't know if the flood was worldwide, I doubt it, but I know the flood covered all over the Middle East. So we started Virgo, and it has three decans. The first decan is called Coma, and look, just to her right hand, you see a woman seated in a chair with a baby in her lap. Do you see that? Everybody see that? Stuart, you see it?
Yeah.
Okay. The name of that decan is Coma. And Coma is the Persian word that means the desired of the nations. And if you look at in the head of that child, there's a star. The star of Bethlehem was that star supernova. It supernovaed 65 million years ago.
What was the name of that star? You said?
I don't remember the name.
Wasn't Regulus, right?
Huh?
No.
But it took 65 million years for that light of that star to reach the Magi in Persia in time for them to arrive at Bethlehem to pay homage to Christ before Joseph and Mary left with Christ for Egypt. So that's the economy of God. 65 million years, the light supernova, the star supernova, took 65 million years for the light to reach Earth, to reach the Persian, the mountains of Persia, where the Magi were headquartered. And those Magi then departed when they saw that star to come to Bethlehem and arrived there before Joseph and Mary left for Egypt, which is an incredible economy of God. And I want you to think about this in terms of your own life. There is nothing that has happened to you. There's no situation that you've been in. There's nothing you've ever done, no matter how bad you think it is, that wasn't by the hand of God to cause you to be able to see and hear His mystery. And that's called the economy of God. Amen? So that's the first decan, and that's the purpose of it, was to show. Now the Magi. The Magi were Persian, they were Zoroasters. It was their religion. And that he was the founder of their religion. And their holy book was called the Zend Avesta. And that book doesn't exist any longer, but parchments of it do. And Zoroaster was a pupil of Daniel and the prophet in the Bible. And much of the Zend Avesta, their holy book, was about this star that when it was revealed, when that star shone, that means the desired one of the nations had been born, and they came. It wasn't three Magi that came, it was a whole tribe that came, but they brought three gifts. Excuse me, man, God. Well, I think I'm allergic to Tom.
Anyway, I'm allergic to you.
So that's the first decan. The second decan is at the corner, Centaurus. I gotta go take some. It's happened to me last week, didn't it?
Yeah, maybe. You think I should buy one of those humidifiers, man? It has to help. Set it up there, let it, you know.
Something.
A humidifier. He went to California and never coughed.
And it's dry air in California.
Man.
actually, there's stuff that will make the air drier. It's kind of like a reverse humidifier.
That would help.
Like, I don't know how much it costs, but.
I have one.
Yeah?
So it's effectively an air conditioner. It sucks the humidity out of the air and puts it in a bucket and empty it periodically.
Yeah, but we need to set it up on
how much things, is it expensive?
I don't remember. I got it from one of those surplus outfits many, many years ago.
Hmm. Yeah, I don't know.
But I don't mind. You know, if somebody wants it, I can use it. I don't know that that would help, though. More humidity is usually better than less.
I'm sorry. The deck on is Centaurus. It's the one with two natures. He's holding a spear, piercing the victim. The victim is the despised sin offering. So its effect, Christ is one with two natures. He's holding the spear, but he's in effect killing himself. That's because no man took his life. He gave it up. Next one.
What's the stuff on the shield that's depicted here?
I don't know. I don't know what it is in this star map. Okay, then look up above. Just go straight up. Not up on this, but up towards this way, and you'll see the sign Boötes, Boötes. That's the great shepherd and harvester. He's holding a rod of iron and a sickle, and he's walking before his flock. Now his flock are, we call it the Big Dipper and the Little Dipper. All of you have seen that, right? But the Big Dipper, both of them were sheepfolds. They weren't dippers, that's a new thing. They were two different sheepfolds, one for the people of God that were from before Christ, and one for the people of God after Christ. So, but both of them are the same. Okay, that takes care of the first sign. The next sign, going clockwise, is Libra. And Libra, obviously the scales, and it's the price deficient balanced by the price that covers. And the handwriting on the wall, if you remember in Babylon, they were having a great feast, and the finger of God wrote on the wall, and he was writing it also on the walls of your mind. And the words were mene, mene, tekel, upharsin. And it means, for every one of us, means you have been weighed in the balance and found lacking. Now that's all of us. That's why Christ has to become our only life. Because he's the only one that paid the price. His sacrifice is sufficient. All right? The first decan of Libra is the Southern Cross. And it's, see the cross under the Centaurus? Now that cross is way, way down now. It's almost even not visible in Australia and New Zealand anymore. But when I was in Australia and New Zealand, I was a pagan then. But to see that cross was so wild when you saw it at night, it just blew your mind. You couldn't take your eyes off of it. So anyway, the cross is the centaurs advancing over the cross. Now the cross endured the lowest in the heavens, and it's going farther and farther down in the heavens. The next one is the victim. Um, That's the one that the centaur is piercing. You see the victim? And that's the slain, the pierced, to death, the sacrifice that covered. And then you go straight up from the victim and you see the crown. And you see the snake is trying to grab the crown. You see that? Now that snake, it represents Satan, but it represents your mind. Your mind, unless you believe in talking snakes, the mind of Adam and Eve were the ones that tempted them. You understand? It was their mind talking to them. And when Jesus Christ was in the wilderness being tempted by Satan, it wasn't a guy with horns and a tail and a red suit. It was his mind as Son of Man that was tempting him. And it's always going to be your mind and your emotions that try to take you, that try to grab the promise. You understand what I mean? Instead of Christ. They're trying to elevate, that's what the cross, when man fell, the evidence of his fall was the incessant need for self-realization, for self to become something. Where all you're meant to be is a vessel for this Holy One. And so you have to go through, you have to push all barriers, you have to come to the end of yourself before you can see that. You can't just, somebody just can't tell you that. Amen? That's why for years here with the kids, we've pushed, tell them to go do anything, go do everything until you've seen the end of it. All right? Now the next one, well anyway, the serpent's trying to take the crown, that's that one. The next one, the third one is Scorpio. Now all of the beasts here, whether they're the scorpion, are, we'll see this ugly thing called Cetus, and the snake that's wrapped around the pole, and a lot of other beasts. They all represent the evil one. And the evil one exists, and his minions exist. Now we don't see evidence of them in our culture, because we don't, you need to invite them before they can have any power over you. But there's three ways that you have, you make yourself open to spiritual bad guys. One is illicit sex. Two is drugs. And three is inviting them. And if they've bothered you, if you've had a fair mess with them, if they've ever messed with you, and they have with me, you just have to, no matter what it is, they have no power. They have no more. They've been defeated. They're defeated. They have no input. If you ignore them, they go away. All right? So the first decan of Scorpio is serpents, the serpent. And he's struggling with this guy next to him. You see, the guy's got it in his hands. He's fighting with it while a serpent's trying to grab the crown. Orphiacus is trying to keep him from getting the crown. And then the second decan is the man, Orphiacus. He's wrestling with the serpent. But notice the scorpion has just stung him in the heel. And that's why Christ, in Genesis 3 it says that the serpent bruised the heel of Christ. But Christ crush the head of the serpent.
Does it mean by bruised? Does it mean bit?
Yeah, it means it was either stung or bit to a point where it affected how he walked. Okay?
Well, when you talked about the serpent, you listed the third decan of Libra as being serpent, but
no, the third decan is the crown.
Okay, all right.
And the serpents try to grab the crown.
That's what I thought.
Isn't that what I said?
Mm.
All right. Okay, then C, the third deck count of Scorpio, is our favorite guy, Hercules. Now, where's Hercules? Anybody find Hercules? Right. Now, Hercules, everybody, if you've ever studied any of Greek mythology, you know about the 12 labors of Hercules. And what we did when we studied the stars before, and that's all on tape, is I went through each of the 12 labors and showed you how those 12 labors of Hercules were actually the finished work of Christ. But here, Hercules, he's the mighty man, but again, he's wounded in the heel. He's kneeling, he's humbled in conflict. He's holding the token of victory, the golden apples and the three-headed dog of hell. His foot is on the head of the dragon. That means he's crushed the head of the dragon.
Draco.
All right. The next one is Sagittarius, the archer. He's right after Scorpio. Again, it's the two-natured hero, Christ with both Son of God and Son of Man. He had to be that, or he couldn't have been of any benefit to us. If he wasn't both Son of God and Son of Man, that's why there was a virgin birth. If he wasn't both Son of God and Son of Man, he would have just been an ideal instead of our very life. Amen? All right. The archer is two-natured, going conqueror, going forth. The first decan is the harp. Now, notice it's straight above Sagittarius, going through the first Aquila. Then you'll see the harp, the lyre. Liar. You see it? Lyra, Lyra. That's the ancient word for harp, but it's an eagle holding the harp. Can everybody find it? You guys find it, Liam? All right. There's a scripture that says, Psalm 137, it says, they want us to sing the songs of Zion, or the songs of your mystery, but how can they sing those songs if they're in a strange land? Now, as long as you think you're a resident of the earth, then you will sing these songs mainly for... It's a type of sorcery. You sing the songs to gain the place instead of being in the place, and the songs are the natural fruit of the place. Each one of us, our true life is in the New Jerusalem, out of time and space. And there, this is the evidence of it, because there's a lyre or harp there. And the only place that you can sing the songs of Zion, or the songs of freedom, or if you're in that place. And that's just it's a testimony that we're really there already. We just don't know it yet. All right. The next one is the altar. Now, the altar is way down at the bottom, underneath Sagittarius. It's the lowest place, it's lowest sign on the star map. And it's way down in the lowest parts of the visible stars. And it's the consuming fire pointed downward. Now, hell is real. Hell is just the dump of the New Jerusalem. And as long as time lasts, the dump will last. But God wants that seventh angel to sound in each one of us, that for us, in us, the mystery of God is finished. time shall be no more. And so that's how you redeem the time. We're not subject to time any longer. This may not make any sense, but trust me. All right. Then the next one is Draco, winding about the North Pole, being cast down from heaven. And who's got his foot on his head? Hercules, who is a type of Christ. The next is this strange beast called Capricornus. He's a goat of atonement. But he has the body of a fish. As the goat dies, the atoning goat dies, it gives life to the fish. Now the church, its symbol wasn't the fish, it was called Ithacus in the first century. The church were called the fish. That's what Christ called us. And that's why every age we think of a day as having 24 hours, and we think of a year as a certain time. But the cosmic year is 25,600 years. And that's the length of time it takes these 12 signs to revolve around the pole star. 25,000 plus years. And so each of the 12 signs are about 2,000 and a few years. And so in the ancient times, the age you were in was defined by the first star, the first constellation you saw at the morning after the spring equinox. So then for a long time, they were in the age of Taurus. And that's where Abraham was. He was living at the end of the age of Taurus. And he thought that must be God. But then during his childhood, it changed. The first sign that appeared was no longer Taurus, it was Aries, the lamb. And so Abraham was born at the dawning of the age of Aries, the lamb. Then it went for about 2,000 plus more years. And Christ was born at the dawning of the age of Pisces. That's why we're called the fish. And now we're at the end of the age of Pisces, and we're just coming to the dawning of the age of Aquarius. But the age of Aquarius, in ancient understanding, was perfection, the end of time. You've heard about the Mayan calendar that says the end of the world is going to be December 21st, 2012. Have you ever heard that? Mm-hmm. Well, they might be pretty close. The dawning, we are at this mid-period now between the dawning of the age of, between the age of Pisces and the age of Aquarius. And from that, if you believe the ancients said about the age of Aquarius, we know it was the end, it was perfection. And then, it could happen. It could happen. The seventh angel will sound and say, the mystery of God is complete. Time shall be no more.
Well, there's that guy who's publishing the book, says it's due on Saturday.
Where do you find all this crap?
Who knows? You hadn't heard about this? I'm not sure you didn't know about this. This guy is trying to sell his book, and
They've
kind of laughed about it because, what's the point of selling the book? After all, if the end is on Saturday, what do you care if you have any money for it or not? Just get the book out there.
As in the end of this week?
Jesus is coming back. It's the May the 21st, it's the rapture. That's what he's written in his book.
Oh, the rapture. Oh, God. Don't get me started on that. You had to mention that, didn't you, Tom?
I did. But that's what the book says. I didn't say anything more than that.
Anyway,
aware of it, right?
Anyway, yeah, I just thought you'd be interested in that, yeah. What a cosmic age is. I mean, a year. Anyhow, the point of it is, Hercules has defeated Satan. Satan is defeated. But only his minions have power, and they only have power by affecting your mind. But you don't. You have power over your mind. You can command your soul to be at rest. Amen? Three things that cause them to come in. You don't want to do that. All right. The next one is Capricornus, so the goat. Well, we started that. No. But the goat is giving, he's dying, he's in a dying position. But he's giving life to the fish, to the tail of the fish. Then there's Tom, you're causing me to do it.
I don't.
Then notice there's this strange decan called the arrow. See if you can find the arrow. Just an arrow flying around. You see it?
Cygnus and Aquino.
It's just an arrow between the two birds, the swan and this other guy. It's the arrow that's flying, but it has no bow. And it's called the arrow of God. And it's the arrow of God that was pointed at his son. Because his son volunteered to die for fallen humanity. That way he would give life to the bride. God so loved the world. The world is the word cosmos there, which means it really is saying God so loved the bride that he gave his son. God doesn't love the world. If anyone loved the world as we know it out here, that's Ion. But God loves the bride and gave his son. Right.
So who's Sagittarius aimed at?
Christ.
Oh, okay.
Then this next one is the eagle, Aquila. And notice that it's pierced and falling. And we'll go, I feel like talking about that tonight. And then the dolphin. See the dolphin, the little teeny dolphin guy? Right next to Aquila. In all ancient cultures, the dolphin was the resurrection, a symbol of resurrection, because it could equally live in two environments. It could live in the air, and it could live in the water. And so it became the symbol of resurrection. And the dolphin is always the symbol of joy. And if you've ever... When I was in Cabo San Lucas, and every morning I get up, as I usually do at 4, and just before sunrise, there was this herd, is the only way, I don't know what you call a dolphin, bunches of dolphin.
Herd?
It's a pod.
A pod? Mm-hmm. Oh, aren't we special? You know what a dolphin pod is. No. But anyway, I saw this herd of dolphins. Just playing. I mean, out in the bay, right in front of us. It was just wonderful. It just brought joy. Yeah. You're on their side, aren't you?
Well, what's all who's pick away all he doesn't have?
Would I pick on anybody?
That's your only vocation.
All right. So anyway, that's a sign of then the next one is Aquarius. Aquarius is always associated with the Feast of Tabernacles, especially the eighth day of the Feast of Tabernacles, because it's associated with the water ceremony. On the 7 days of linear time, in the 7 days in the Feast of Tabernacles, they poured water and wine into the altar. On the eighth day, they poured only wine in. And the wine is the symbol of the bride, and the water is the symbol of the human race. That's why Christ's first miracle that defined his mission was to change the water into wine at Cana. And so, Aquarius is intimately related to that water ceremony. And notice the waters of the fish that we saw a type of just coming out of the goat, the dying goat in Capricornus. Now the fish is in most of the star maps, the fish's mouth is wide open, and the water is, all the water is going directly into the fish's mouth. Because the fish, if we're the symbol of the fish, if we're caught out of the water, if we don't have all of the water going into us, then we die. So he has to be our only sustenance. Understand that? So Pisces, Aquarius, the first decan is the southern fish, the one that's all the water is going into, Pisces Australis, and it's the blessing bestowed. The water of life is flowing directly into the mouth of the fish. And then it's the next one is Pegasus, right above. It's the winged horse. And we spend a lot of time with that, but he's speeding throughout the sky with the good news of the mystery of God, if you have ears to hear. And then the swan. Remember the next one, this next third decan is a swan. Everybody see the swan? Cygna? Straight above Aquarius. And notice that the swan's shape, if you see it, at night, it even looks like it. It looks not as well defined as a Southern Cross, but it has the shape of the cross in it. And the swan, just like the dove is always pictured as the symbol of the Holy Spirit, the white swan in ancient cultures was always the symbol of the resurrected Christ. And we've lost that in our culture. But it came from this. The white swan is a symbol of the resurrected Christ. Okay, the next sign is Pisces. Now, the redeemed, notice that there's a band between, see that there's two fish, both of them are connected to Cetus, this monster. But notice that the lamb or the goat, the lamb has his foot on top of the band. So the two fish are, again, the saints from the Old Testament and the New Testament. And even though for a time we're still connected to the monster, to the beast, but it's not, that connection isn't going to last very long. We're still connected to time and space, his world. But even the lamb has his foot over us. Now the woman in chains is Andromeda. You see her right above the one of the fish? She's in chains. She's the bride, but she's apparently bound, just as we are part of the mystery of the bride, but we're apparently still bound to time and space. We're not really bound, but we think we are. And next is Cephas. Cephas the king and his royalty. Everybody see Cephas? Right in the center, almost. He's holding a band. He's holding the same band that is, it doesn't show it on this map, but he's holding the same band that's connected to the fish in his hand. And Andromeda is the woman in chains. And Cephas is the crowned king. He's holding the band and the scepter. His foot is planted directly on the North Pole. And the great victor and the Lord ruler is his mistral. And then next is Aries. Everybody see Aries? He's the lamb, right before the bull. You see that? Okay, Aries is the lamb slain. That's obviously Christ. And the first decan is Cassiopeia. See the enthroned woman to the right hand. I mean, to the left hand of Cephas the king, right at the center, Cassiopeia. She's the captive, she's us delivered, preparing for her husband. And she's now no longer the woman in chains that was typified in Andromeda. Now she's the woman enthroned as the bride is seeing her destiny. Then this monster, this ugly beast called Cetus. He thinks he's got the fish, but it's the lamb that's got him. He's bound by the lamb. Then comes Perseus. Perseus, you see him with the sword in his hand? And he's the mighty man, winged feet. He cut off the head of the monster, writhing, still writhing with serpents, holding the great sword in his right hand. Everybody see him? The next is Tarsus, the bull, to rule. The first decan is a star. It's a sign that everybody sees every night, just about, and that's Orion. He's the glorious prince, light breaking forth, a sword girded on his side, foot in the head of the. And that what looks like this, they call this guy Lepus. He's really a serpent, and that's in the ancient star maps. So his head is on the head of the serpent. And then the river of wrath is this Eridanus. You see that river that starts flowing from the foot of Orion, and it goes down through Cetus and down and down. Anybody see that? That's the largest sign in the heavens. It's called the River of Wrath. Now, if you're interested, look up, you guys that are computer geeks, look up the Eridanus Void. On Google, you'll find this incredible thing. There's a cone. The top part is a billion light years wide and 10 billion light years deep. And it's essentially void of any planets, of any constellation, of any stars. And it just blows the guy's mind because there's a void there. And it's the Eridanus Void. It's where this river is going, and then all of a sudden it ends in nothing. And that's what happens. That's the river of souls that haven't been brought into the kingdom of God. It's not that they're going to suffer or anything. It'll be as though they never existed, which is the worst kind of suffering. But check that Eridanus Void out. Fascinating. All right. The next sign is Aruga, the shepherd. I mean, the next decan of Taurus, the bull, is a Ruga. Now notice something that he's holding. Some of you have heard me say this prayer for you, but notice that a Ruga is holding a lamb, a Ruga, I can't even say it. He's holding a lamb in his left arm next to his heart. And that's what happens. That's what God does with us each. When we're in these periods of darkness, he holds us in his arm next to his heart so that we can feel his heart and get to know and understand his mercy and grace. Yeah. Amen? Then Gemini, that's the first time that the bride... Gemini, it says it's twins in our maps, but it's really a man and a woman. And it shows the bride for the first time. It shows the mystery of God completed in Christ and his bride. And it shows that we're already there. We just don't realize it yet. And then this thing they call Lepus here, under Orion's foot, is the first decan of Gemini. But it's really a serpent, as we've said. Then Canis Major is this big dog-looking thing. Everybody remember what Canis Major was in truth?
Sheepfold.
And Canis Minor was another sheepfold. But they made him into these beasts. And then finally, we didn't talk about Cirrus. We're still in Gemini. The first decan is the hare, Lepus, the serpent. The second is Sirius, Canis Major. Yeah, that's what we're talking about. And Canis Minor. Both of those are sheepfolds. And then finally, we're studying Cancer. That's where we are now. And Cancer the idea of Cancer isn't like it's supposed to be a crab, but it's supposed to be the arms of God holding his people safe. And as long as you stay in the sheepfold, you're safe. But even if you go in and out of the sheepfold, you're still safe. That's the mystery of God. And so some people, you have to go in and out. You have to go out for a while. You're still safe. You're covered. Like I've talked to the kids here many times. If you don't believe, you're covered by your parents' belief. If they don't believe, you're covered by the community's belief. You don't have to worry about anything. You don't have a care in the world. Just follow your nose. Even if you screw up, just follow your nose. And I know both of you have screwed up.
Pretty much all the time.
Huh?
Pretty much all the time. What's it right to screw up?
You ever notice the one major, major, just unbelievable, what you'd call his persona of Nick is his humility? All right, then Ursa Minor and Ursa Major is again to the sheepfold. We're being covered in.
Oh, there are sheepfolds too, just like the
Canis Major, Canis Minor, are sheepfolds. So are Ursa Major and Ursa Minor?
We're both sheepfolds again. And then with ship, this is what we haven't studied yet. We haven't studied Ursa Major and Ursa Minor yet either, but they're the ship. And Argo is the ship. That's where the
sheepfold.
Huh? Argo is not a sheepfold. It's a ship. Shut up, Leo. We'll finally get to Leo. It's the Lion of Judah victorious. Arouse to rend the serpent. It's a hydra, the fleeing serpent, trodden underfoot by the crab and the lion, the devil destroyed. The cup of divine wrath poured out on the serpent. And the raven, Corvus, the bird of doom, rending the serpent. The serpent is already destroyed, but he has to be destroyed in us, in our minds. Now, all this is going on at all the time, all at the same time. We can't understand that because our minds think in linear time. But everything with God is non-linear.
Did you say what crater was and I was missing it?
Hmm?
Crater, the thing in the middle of Hydra.
It's the cup.
The cup of wrath.
Oh, okay. I'm sorry, I missed it.
And the world is drinking from the cup of wrath right now. It has been.
Anytime you're drinking from the cup of self-seeking, of self-realization, you're drinking from the cup of wrath, even though it tastes so sweet for a while.
And so, like, 1 Thessalonians 1:10, we're dealing from the wrath to come. That's right now because we're not drinking from that cup of wrath.
Right. All right, well, that's in a nutshell, that's the star map. And that's what we've been studying in detail. And we'll continue finishing the crab, Cancer, and then Leo. That's what the two we have left.
That stuff on Eridanus is cool.
Did you look it up?
I looked up two of them already and did a quick read, but they were...
The Eridanus Void.
Yeah, in 2004, they were doing a map trying to look at the origin of the universe based on microwave radiation, and there's a hole right there that is statistically unlikely. It's what, well, one outfit describes it.
Yeah, actually,
it's pretty cool. A billion light years across.
10 billion light years deep.